interesting. If you experienced the rain this week, who loved the rain, especially on Friday? We had 95 millimeters just in our gauge. I think some people had over 100, well over 100 just in one day. And when I was experiencing this amazing rain, I just realized that this is the sound of the harvest. Amen. This is the sound. You know, many prophecies over the years have been said about the heavy rains are coming and there's sounds of revival. I don't know if you've heard it being said before, but I want to ask you this morning, can you hear it? Can you hear the sound of revival and the sound of the harvest? You see, Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful. Amen. The problem isn't with the harvest. The problem is actually with the laborers. And he said, there's few laborers, but the harvest is plentiful and we are his laborers. Amen. Turn to someone next to you and say, you're a laborer. Any farmer knows that every season there is a harvest. Amen. If you're a farmer, where's Valdi? Valdi, you're a farmer. You expect the harvest when you've sown seeds. Amen. Any other farmers in this place that can testify? You, especially the crop farmers, the stock farmers, it's difficult to talk about a harvest there. You have lambs born and calves born and all of that. But in a crop farming environment, you know that there's a time for harvest. And guess what happens at the time of harvest? There's a massive expectation, isn't it so? You'd be struggling if you're a farmer and you haven't got an expectation for a harvest because then you're not going to make it. But there's such an expectation of a harvest that you plant as much seed as you can and you plow the ground and you prepare for that harvest. Everything that you do as a farmer, you live for the time of harvest because you know that's your bread and butter. That's your survival. And I believe in the spirit God is saying to us as a church that it is really time for harvesting. It's time to prepare for the harvest. Put it that way. Maybe the harvest won't come like tomorrow or today or in the next week or month or even this year, but I believe God is saying to us that we must prepare for the harvest. And when you're a farmer, your whole family is prepared, your whole workforce is prepared, everyone is expecting that at least we'll get a return for our investment. I mean, at least we'll reap something, even in tough times. And I believe God is asking us this morning, do you have an expectation? What is your expectation of the harvest? What is your expectation for people to come to know Jesus in this time, for your own life to be radically changed? And this morning I want to ask you, how are you preparing for the harvest? And are you preparing for the harvest? I know it's a big challenge for all of us, especially us that are in a comfort zone. You know, if you live in the Middle East, I think there you're persecuted as a believer, all you're living for is the harvest, because you're either going to die or you're going to be excited about the harvest. Or you're going to be dying while you be excited about the harvest. But yeah, in the Western world where we're not so persecuted in terms of, you know, religion is free and there's lots of churches and there's so many choices of where to go and there's even challenges between churches. It seems like our challenge is more not the harvest, but the people in the church, the current laborers. And I believe God really wants us to look away from the challenges amongst each other and the little, you know, differences we have and to really together focus on one thing, and then he'll unify us. Sometimes we spend so much time trying to, you know, make church happen and we're trying to make our relationships happen and we do everything we can and yet sometimes it seems like there's still a barrenness, there's still a lack of fruit. But the Lord is saying turn away from that this morning and prepare your hearts for the harvest. And so this morning I want to read from Isaiah 54. I'm so excited about just these four things that the Lord has given me to share with you in, as you prepare for the harvest that is to come. So let's read the whole five verses together and then we'll go through them as the Lord speaks to us this morning. It says, sing, O barren, you have not borne. Just some background on this quickly. This is where Israel is in the time of exile. They've been taken into Babylon. They're very unfruitful. In fact, their numbers have decreased a lot and they're in a very bad place as a nation, as God's people. But yeah, the prophet Isaiah comes to speak to the people of Israel and God speaks to them and he starts to encourage them. And I believe God wants to encourage us as a church this morning. Amen. I don't want you to feel burdened this morning, you to feel guilty, you to feel you're not doing enough to bring in the harvest or you're not witnessing. I don't want you to feel like that this morning. I want you to be encouraged this morning as we share together. Amen. Is that cool with you guys? So be encouraged. Don't see it as, oh, okay, we're talking again about evangelism. I'm not an evangelist. I don't speak to people. So, okay, I must just go back into my bad corner again and feel sorry and hope this message goes away and I'll wait for a more encouraging message next week. That's not the point of this morning. The point is to really be encouraged as to what the Lord is saying to you, not what the devil is saying to you this morning. Amen. And not what your guilt and your shame and maybe your past failures are saying to you this morning. I trust that the Lord will really speak through this word this morning. So Israel is at a challenging place, but here comes the word of the Lord, and he says to Israel, sing, O barren, you have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood any more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He's called the God of the whole earth. So this morning I just want to share four thoughts out of this passage that is so powerful this morning that hopefully will help you to prepare your heart for what God wants to do. Amen. And I believe it's a preparation for our church as well. I believe God wants to prepare us as a group here for what he wants to do in us and through us and wherever he sends us. And the first thing he says here, he says you must rejoice. So the first thing I want to say this morning is when we're preparing for the harvest, I want to say it is time to rejoice. Amen. Can I have an amen? And we had it this morning. We experienced God restoring our joy again. But I want to say it is time to rejoice. Before you do anything else, I believe God wants to restore joy to us. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Turn to someone next and say, joy of the Lord. If we're not going to rejoice for what God is going to do and what is going to happen in our midst, if we're not rejoicing in faith, we're not going to rejoice when it happens. And I believe God wants us to rejoice. But why does he say you must rejoice? Because he's about to do a mighty work in the nations. He's about to do a mighty work in the church. He's about to do awesome things just like he did in the time when Israel was at its lowest. Amen. Amen. Can I have faith here this morning? We need to believe that God is about to do something amazing. So guess what? We can rejoice right now already. He says to the barren woman, sing. He doesn't say sing when you have a child. He says, guess what is going to happen? You're going to be joyful before it even happens. And I believe we need to sing again to the Lord. I believe we need to shout again. And I'm so excited that the Spirit did it this morning. We shouted to God. We're worshiping God. We're praising God. We're going to dance to the Lord again. Guess what? There's place here for dancers in church, friends. Amen. So where are the dancers? Rise up. I remember the time in our church when we had dances here with flags, and then sometimes they put the flags out here. But there's time, there's place for dancing in church. Amen. You don't have to only dance on a Saturday night and then at 12 o'clock stop, you know. You know the rule of the very religious community, like we still don't dance after 12 o'clock on a Saturday night because now it's Sunday. I want to say Sunday is the day of dancing. Amen. Forget Saturday and Friday and the rest of the week. Let's dance on Sundays and for the rest of the week. But let's not stop at 12 o'clock on a Saturday night and now we get all religious and all quiet. It's time to rejoice, church. It's time to be joyful. And you know what he says here? He says it's a command. It's not because of a good feeling or a situation. The Bible says, sing, O barren one. Rejoice in faith. The people of Israel were diminishing in number. They were in exile. Things were not looking good, but God remain faithful to them. And maybe you feel like that today. Maybe you feel like you're God's chosen one, but you've lost your joy. You've lost that sense of being God's child again. And God wants to remind you that he's remaining faithful to you. Even though you feel bad, God is saying, stand up and sing and dance and rejoice. Amen. And God wants to make us fruitful. Listen to what he says. He says, you have not labored with child. Break forth. Start to rejoice because guess what? You're going to have more children than the married woman. How is that possible that the desolate woman, the barren woman, is going to have more children than the married woman? How is it possible? It's not in the natural. God is about to do something supernatural, guys. God is about to do something beyond our expectations. But are we at least expecting it? Are we at least expecting God to do something? Because he said he'll exceed our expectations. Amen. If you're not going to expect anything, God can't exceed anything. But if you have at least some expectation, God is going to exceed that expectation. He's going to do something amazing. But God wants us to be fruitful as a church and for you as a believer. Amen. Do you want to be fruitful as a believer this morning? That's the question. Do you really want to bear fruit? Because if you're wanting to be barren, you're happy to be barren, then that's fine. But then you're not going to bear fruit unless you want to believe to God and say, God, I'm not fruitful now, but Lord, you are able to make me fruitful. And that's why we can rejoice, because we know God is going to do awesome stuff. He's going to make us fruitful. He doesn't want us to be barren, because back in the day, it was shameful not to have kids. In the Jewish culture, it was terrible. It was a disgrace you brought on your family because you couldn't have kids. It was terrible. And maybe it's like that even today. Some women struggle in the natural to have kids. It's terrible. But I believe God doesn't want us only to have natural kids. He wants us to have spiritual children. That's what He's talking about here. Amen. And God's called us as a church to really make disciples. And that's why I want to encourage you guys to be part of cell groups. You know where we make disciples? Primarily as a church? Connect groups. We do it through Bible school tonight. We do it in church services. We do it at prayer meetings. But you know where we are making disciples? Let's get practical here now. Because sometimes we are spiritual and we think it's out there somewhere. But you know where we are making disciples is in connect groups. Primarily. We can make disciples everywhere. But our connect groups are disciple-making groups. And I believe God wants to expand our groups this year. He wants to make us fruitful in our connect groups where discipleship happens. Where we can be accountable and we can challenge each other to grow in Christ. Amen. It's not, this connect groups isn't supposed to be a place where one guy teaches and there's 20 people sitting listening to a teaching again. I really want to say that this morning. I want you to catch the vision of fruitfulness. God wants to make us fruitful, not to grow massive numbers, but to make disciples. But we need to rejoice, and I want to challenge each one of us that is not making disciples actively in your life. Commit to either be a disciple, in other words, sit under someone else, learn from someone, have someone mentor you or disciple you one-on-one or one-on-three, but be part of a group and then go and disciple other people. Amen. Go and mentor at least one other person that you can actually see raised up as a leader in church. And do it if you're busy at work, if you've got an 8-to-5 job, and you then join a connect group. Commit to once a week just to disciple someone even within that cell group. You don't have to be the cell leader to make disciples. Can I have an amen? You can make disciples through relationship. In fact, it's the only way that you can be fruitful is through relationship. So I want you to think about practically, write down. I want you guys to come to church with your notes and your pens, and your notebooks. Come make some notes. Say to the Lord, Lord, speak to. I remember when I was first saved and spirit-filled in Shofar back in Stellenbosch. I used to come to church so hungry. I was a cell leader at the time, and just like Martel testified, I didn't have a clue. I just took my notebook, I wrote down stuff, and I shared what I experienced on a Sunday with my cell. And I saw growth happening. But I was hungry. I came to church and I wrote down stuff. I was like, not coming to church, oh, this pastor again or this guy preaching, it's same old. No, I was hungry to hear God. And God would often confirm stuff to me before I came to church in the service. Then you know you're in tune with the Spirit, amen. When you're hearing from God and the pastor just confirms it, that would be awesome. But some of us, we maybe don't hear from God, so use this church to hear from God, but then go and implement it. But let's be a fruitful church. God wants us not to be barren. Amen. He wants to do something amazing. And in Galatians 4 verse 27, guess what Paul quotes? The exact same scripture. Sing, O barren one. Guess what he's talking about? He's talking about you're not the son of the bond woman or the woman of bondage. You're the son of the free woman, the son of promise. He's talking about Hagar who bore Ishmael and then Isaac, the son of promise. And he's saying, you believers are son of the promise. Why do you go back to religion again? Why do you go back to bondage? You're free. Amen. And I want to tell you, church, this morning, you guys are free. There's freedom. There's freedom because we're children of the promise. We're not in bondage again and we're not supposed to be barren. God wants to make us fruitful. But he's not going to tell you must be. He says, do you want to be fruitful? Do you want to be used to make disciples in 2019? But it's time to rejoice. I want to say start by rejoicing and watch how God is going to give you promises that will exceed your expectations this morning. The second thing he says, then he goes on, he says, yeah, enlarge the place of your tent. He talks about stretching, he talks about lengthening, he talks about a lot of stuff. You can sum it up in this one word. It is time to make space. Can I have an amen? The first thing is it's time to rejoice, but then practically in your life, it's time, God says, to make space. If the harvest is going to come in, guys, this hall is way too small. The place can't even take 1,000 people. Amen. Gym for sure, school will not be big enough when the harvest comes in for Shofar. I'm talking about Shofar Bloemfontein, not all the other churches, for us. Amen. But are we going to make space? Like today, this curtain is not here anymore. Great. We can have the curtain for a few more weeks, but then there won't be space. We'll have to take the curtain out. We'll have to break these walls down. We'll have to move venues. Praise the Lord. But you know when God is going to move us, and I know it's a mission to set up, it's such a schlep to set up this hall every week, but you know when God was going to move us? When this hall is packed. Amen. I believe it. So I believe, guys, stop praying for another venue, stop hoping for another venue, stop thinking for another venue. We're going to fill this venue up. Can I have an amen? Some people are not quite with it yet, but that's okay. You don't have to be with it now. You'll get with it. Amen. But God has given us a voice in Bloemfontein, and there's a hunger for the fullness of God. Today was awesome. The worship was awesome. Now, I hope it's awesome, the word. But there's a hunger for the fullness of God. God is going to fill this venue up. I really believe it. And we're going to have plans for another venue. We're going to have plans for our own building. We'll dream and chat as an eldership about it. But I believe God is saying, those are for long term. Focus now on just getting people in this church. Amen. Focus on filling up this hall. Each one can reach one. Amen. Each one invite one. Let's pray for the harvest to come in. Let's pray. But it's time to make space. He says, yeah, enlarge the place of your tent. What is the place of your tent? The people of Israel understood tent as what? Not camping, not fun. That's where you lived. Amen. When he talks about tent, yeah, he's talking about your house. That's your place of living. For us, tents are like, yes, some people hate camping. I'll never live in a tent. Tent was for them. That was their dwelling place. So guess what he's saying to the people of Israel? Enlarge your, there's going to be a massive tent. This tent is going to be so big that you're going to have to lengthen the cords, you're going to have to strengthen the stakes, because this tent is going to be so heavy with all the space you're going to have to make. And so God is saying, yeah, he's saying enlarge, stretch out the curtain. So I believe God wants us to make space in certain areas of our lives. Number one, make space in your heart, first of all. Make space in your heart for someone else. Amen. Or for three or four, every other people. First, make space in your heart. Don't try and make space in your tent, in your home first. Make space in your heart for someone. Other than your family, okay? Other than your roommate, other than someone who's known to you. Make space for a stranger. Make space for someone else in your heart. That's the first thing. Then, And I want to say, even before you make space for other people, let's make space for the King of Kings. Amen. If we don't have space for God in our hearts, if God is not consuming us and He's filling our hearts and He's everything to us, it doesn't help making space for how many other people, because God must take priority. Make space for God, but when we make space for God, you know what He does? He says, there's lots of space in your heart for lots of other people. Because when you make space for me, you're automatically making space for someone else. So make space in your heart and in your mind. It's a decision that you're going to have to make, because it's not going to be comfortable. Tell someone next to you it's going to be uncomfortable. And you know, as a family, like, okay, let me go to the second thing. The second thing you must make space in is your physical home, where you live, where you operate, where you can actually spend time with someone. Make space in your physical dwelling. Expand your tents. Amen. If you have to build on another room, build on another room. I love. But make space in your home where you can maybe, where someone can just come and not necessarily live there, but where it's open for someone else. That's a fathering generation. That's the heart of the father turning to the orphan or the fatherless. Make space in your, you know, sometimes we are so comfortable in our natural environments that it's me, myself and I and my family and my few close friends, and we're awesome, you know. We're the awesome group. We love it. But let's make space for other people. Let's make space for a stranger. Let's make space for someone who maybe doesn't have a home, for someone who doesn't have a family. And then I want to say, make space in your schedule. So take out your diary now and look at your week schedule and say, when am I going to have time to just spend time with someone else? At a coffee shop, at the sports field, wherever. Make space in your schedule for just some one or two or three other people, according to your capacity. Amen. And then lastly, make space in your finances. Do you have, are you living so on the edge this morning that, all you're doing is surviving? You've just got enough finances to just pay your own rent and to pay your own food, and, you're struggling. And the Lord says, I want you to, by faith, make space. Start with 10 rand, 20 rand, but buy someone else a coffee, buy someone else a burger, bless someone else with a movie ticket, but make space in your finances that you can give. Amen. Let's be practical about this morning. It's time, God says, to make space. It's time to lengthen your cords. And he's talking here about support. You need, if you're going to, as a person and we as a church, if we're going to lengthen our cords, guess what it means? It means we're going to have support. It talks, the cords are that thing which supports the tent, and the stakes in the ground are that thing which is the foundation. Without the stakes, the cord doesn't mean anything. And without the cord, the stakes don't mean anything. You know how a tent works? You've got to have the strings and then the stake in the ground, the pin. So I believe it talks about a foundation and a grounding. What are your stakes this morning? What are your cords this morning? Your cords, I believe, is your support system, and your stakes are your foundation. The Word of God, is the Word of God increasing in your life? Is it strengthened in your life, or is it fading? Is the Word of God still priority in your life? Is the presence of the Holy Spirit there? Is that your foundation? Do you have accountability? Where you can also have a place where you can receive, where you can be strengthened when you're weak. Because guess what, guys? We're not superhumans. We're not superheroes. Jesus is the superhero. Sometimes we get weak. And if the harvest comes in, we're going to feel the strain sometimes. So do you have a support system around you? Do you have friends? Do you have accountability partners? And are you supported even in this greater fellowship? That's why church is important. Coming to church is a support system. It's part of strengthening and lengthening. Amen. So where are your cords at the moment? And when they start to get stretched, are they going to break, or do you have a support system around you? No more loner Christianity. Amen. That's why we're a family. I love what God is doing. He's really making us a family. And we're going to sharpen each other this year. We're going to get frustrated with some of the weaknesses that we see. And maybe I'm not the pastor you expected me to be. And you'll be, let me go look for another pastor in another church. Just don't submit to what the devil wants to do. Let's just be a fellowship this year. Let's be accountable to one another. Let's become friends. And let's support each other and strengthen each other. But primarily, guys, it's the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. Those three things. So that's why Bible school tonight is not just a nice thing because I haven't got anything to do on a Sunday. Believe me, I can spend lots of time with my family. I've got lots of other things to do on a Sunday. But you know what? The Lord said, I've anointed you to teach. I've called you to raise up leaders, raise up disciples. And that's what I can't wait for tonight. I can't wait for this year. Because I know Bible school changed my life. So come to Bible school. If you really need to change your schedule, then change it. And don't study from 6 to 8:30. Come. Come and sacrifice some time for the Word of God. Amen. But let's make space, guys. Can I have an amen? It's time to rejoice. And secondly, it's time to make space. Because he says, it's going to be great. The harvest is going to be great. He says you're going to expand to the right and to the left. In other words, you're going to expand everywhere. Not just one direction. You're going to grow in multicultural. You're going to grow in generations. You're going to grow in nations as a church, I really believe. And guess what's going to be the blessing when our kids and our spiritual kids start inheriting? Our kids start to do greater things than we have ever dreamed to do. Then we're going to know the harvest is coming in. And then number three, he says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. He talks about disgrace. He talks about shame. Three times he mentions the word shame. He says there's reproach of your widowhood, of your past. I believe the third thing God is saying to us as a church this morning to prepare for the harvest is it's time to let go. Amen. Especially, in fact, he's talking about the past. Each one of us have got a past, yeah. Each one of us have had some kind of a challenge in the past. But the past should never define the future. Why? Because Jesus says he's going to make all things new. That the old passes away. And I believe, guys, in order to let go, we need to recognize our past and face it. Amen. I believe there's too much denial in the body of Christ and even in the city and even in our church. We are not all fine and everything's fine. No, there's challenges that you need to deal with. There's the hurts of the past that some of us have not dealt with. But God wants us to recognize it. He doesn't say to Israel, you were all fine. No, you were ashamed. You were in exile. You missed it. You were disobedient. And guess what? I took you through a little bit of a discipline, but you know what? It's okay. Let's face it now. Let's repent and let's get over it. Let's not forget about the past, but let go of the past. And how do you let go of the past? You really face it and you deal with it and you repent and you honestly recognize where you've missed it and you forgive the people that have missed it to you and you just say, God, I give it over to you. I let it go. I don't sweep it under the carpet. And I don't know what you're going through in your life, but all of us have had shame in some or other way. All of us have made mistakes. Anyone here perfect? Anyone never made a mistake? Anyone never missed God? Every one of us have missed God in some way. Every one of us have been disobedient. And guess what it does? It brings shame. It brings a feeling, oof, I missed it. And what do? We run away. We don't want to face it. And we want to think everything is fine. And I want to say religion is broken over our church. This thing of being all holier than thou or all fine. But meanwhile, inside we're broken. I believe God really wants to sort it out this year. And maybe we're not ready to have masses of people in here because first of all, he wants to sort us out. He really wants us to be honest before we get to the real lost and broken and hurting people. Because then it's going to be a mess. Then we're not going to have time to spend long hours with people. We're going to have to trust for miraculous healing and supernatural deliverance. And for all of us, guys, God wants to do it in us. Supernatural deliverance and healing where we're never the same again. But how many times do we hold on to the past? And I believe letting go opens the door for faith to grow. That rhymes, eh? Letting go opens the door for faith to grow. If we don't let go, if we keep holding on to disobedience and to shame and to the sin of the past, guess what? Faith is killed in our lives and it opens the door to fear. And God says this morning, do not fear. But he says you need to be strict with yourself. You need to be strict and say, this shame and this disgrace, I'm not going to let it define me. Shame and disgrace and humiliation talk about an embarrassment of expecting one thing and then reaping another. When you're sort of expecting something and you're embarrassed because that's not quite what you got and you failed and you missed it and it brings shame, brings disgrace, it brings humiliation. It's a disappointed hope. And all of us have had our disappointments and our hopes that haven't been met. And God says this morning, if there's something in your life that is holding you back, let it go, but deal with it. Amen. Do not fear. And maybe in the past you've expected a harvest. You've had the same scripture. You've been through the same stuff and you've been excited for the harvest and then nothing happened and you just feel you don't want to go there again. You'd rather be in Babylon. You'd rather be in exile instead of having this faith that isn't met. And the Lord says, I will not disappoint you. Amen. It's going to be different this time, but I'm not going to disappoint you. Letting go opens the door for us to believe in God's ways and plans and dreams and they can become a reality for you and for me. God can use you to do awesome stuff. He can use you to change a few lives. Even if it's just one, it's awesome. The shame of your youth talks here about Israel's unfaithfulness and disobedience, and the reproach of widowhood talks about that barrenness because of that disobedience and because of that unfaithfulness. So when we disobey and when we're unfaithful like Israel was, guess what? It brings upon us a shame and a reproach, and it brings ultimately upon us a barrenness. And I believe this is one of the keys to really being fruitful is letting go of the past. Having faith and expecting God to do awesome stuff. Are you with me this morning? Ask the Lord to show you this morning. Ask the Lord to show you where you need to let go. But don't just sweep it under the carpet. Don't just think it's all fine. It's not. Deal with it. And then the last verse before we pray this morning and before we just respond to the Lord is, he says, yeah, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Not only is it time to rejoice, friends, not only is it time to really believe that God is going to do awesome things. Not only is it time to make space and to deal with our past and to let go. Not only is it time for all of that, but I believe it's time to give credit where credit is due. To recognize who is in all of this. Who is the center of all of this. Amen. It's time to honor God. really honor God and know who He is. Guess who He is? Guess who this God is that we're honoring? God says here to Israel, He says, I am your maker. What does maker mean? Maker refers to our creator, our design, our owner. Turn to someone next to you and say, God owns you. Isn't it sad when people don't recognize the owner and the creator and the maker of every person? They think, yeah, well, I was made by my mom and dad. No, God made sure that you were born. It's a miracle that each one of us are here. It's a miracle that what happened when our mother and father came together and, you know, a seed fertilized an egg. And in fact, there were so many possibilities, but we were here. We came out. So honor your maker, honor your creator, honor the one who's given you life. And he says to Israel, he says, your maker is your designer, your owner and your creator. But guess what? He's not only your maker. He's not a designer that's just far away and he's, you know, he's just sent out a product into the world and he doesn't have a relationship with this product. No, he's got such relationship with you, his product, that he's your husband. Isn't that amazing? He's the husband of Israel. He's the husband of the bride of Christ. We are part of the bride of Christ, the unashamed bride of Christ. He's not only our mate, he's our husband. Husband refers yet to lover. Those who are married will know this. Woman, you'll get your lover one day, ladies that are trusting for a husband. But you know, before you get your earthly lover, get your heavenly lover. And for guys as well, find your fulfillment not in a wife or in stuff or in success or in doing well in life. Find your heavenly lover. He's your fulfillment. A wife cannot fulfill us. A husband cannot fulfill us on this earth. There's a lover who can fulfill us. And he says he's not only our maker, he's the one who plants the seed inside of us. Amen. And that's why we're going to pray and fast in a couple of weeks' time. And I want to encourage you, if you can't fast fully from food, then do a partial fast, but consecrate those 3 days to the Lord, and please come here on Wednesday night. Cancel all your classes, cancel everything. Be here on Wednesday night, the 6th of March. We're going to break the fast. We're going to trust God to establish a unity. I believe it's a prophetic act, this fast. It's not just because every shofar is doing it. The reason shofar is doing it is to cause the local body to come into unity. Amen. That we can break this fast together. We can say, God, what have you said to all of us? So there won't be connect groups that night. We're really going to say, God, yeah, we are connect, unite our hearts. We're going to have church on a Wednesday evening. There'll be mother's room available there. We'll make it possible for parents to come. I don't know. We'll have to do whatever we can. But we're going to trust God to unite us as a church. But let's fast, let's seek the lover of our soul's face. Let's say that He's the one who plants the seed in us. He's our husband. And God's saying to Israel, yeah, He's saying, I am the one who's going to do this. I'm going to one who's going to cause fruit to happen in your life. I'm going to one who's going to make you rejoice. Amen. I'm going to one who's going to give you the capacity to expand and to really rejoice and to let go of the past. I'm going to one who's going to plant the seed in your life. Not only is your husband, but he says he's the Lord of hosts. He's fighting your battle for you. Tell someone next to you, there's someone who's fighting for you. Isn't he amazing? He's so glorious this morning. He's so worthy of our worship because he's interceding on our behalf. When we are weak and we cannot do anything, God is like fighting our battles. He's the Lord of the heaven's armies. He's a God of warfare, but he loves us. He doesn't want us to die in the battle. He's fighting our battle for us. And then he's the Redeemer, he's the Savior, he paid the price for our lives. Do you know Jesus this morning as your Redeemer, the one who makes all things new? Then he says he's the Holy One, he's worthy, he's perfect. Not only is holy himself, but he makes us holy. Isn't that awesome? He gives us his Holy Spirit. He pours out his Holy Spirit upon us, he makes us holy. And then he says, not only am I the God of you, Israel, but I'm the God of the whole earth. Tell someone next to you, the whole earth. He owns every single person, whether they recognize it or not. He knows every person on this earth, and whether they're Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, he says, I want to make all of them one. They're my people. And he says this to Israel to give them a bigger vision, and he says, I want you to see, Israel, you've been called to be a light to the Gentiles. You've been called to reach nations and generations, and God has called Shofar to be like that, to reach nations and generations, to be a light to the nations, to be a light to the unbelievers, to be a place of refuge for the lost and the broken, those who do not know God. Because I'm the God of the whole earth, he says. And it's time to give honor to this God. He's not only our God, he's the God of the whole earth. And Jesus, this morning, deserves all the glory. Amen. He deserves all the glory and he wants to prepare each of us for the harvest. Jesus Christ, the Lord of the harvest, is this sovereign God that we're talking about. Yeah, he's come and in fact this whole prophecy was talking about him coming to prepare the believers for the harvest. And guess what? He's coming back again. That's the good news this morning, but it's scary. Jesus Christ is coming back a second time, and is he going to find us prepared for the harvest? Is he going to find us ready and working in the harvest? Or is he going to find us unfaithful? You know, the virgins with the lamps that had the oil? Are we filled with oil? Are we ready? Are we filled with the Spirit? Are we excited about the things of God? Are we excited to lay down our lives for the Lord? And are we willing to recognize that he's working in our lives and he's working all across the earth, guys? He's doing great things all across the earth. And there's opportunities for missions. There's opportunities for reaching out not very far away from us. There's opportunities right next to you every day. There's someone who maybe is going through a tough time. Somebody who's already depressed because this year is not turning out like they wanted it. Somebody that you can reach out to that maybe doesn't know Jesus in his fullness. They know about him. They don't really know him. Are we prepared and are we going to gear our lives? Are we going to make space? And are we going to say, Lord, everything that my life is about is for your glory? I know it's challenging for us this morning, but I want you to be excited as the band comes forward this morning, as we're going to close right now. But I believe God wants you to be excited for the opportunities that lie ahead. The worst that we can do as a church is just look inwardly and just try to maintain. Amen. And as believers, we do that. Or as people, we do that naturally. We just maintain. And sometimes it feels like a survival, guys. Life isn't easy out there. But I want to encourage you that there's an abundant life waiting. There's the sound of rain. And you know, when that rain was falling on Friday, it's just water everywhere. And I was sitting there, and you know, our house has got very good drainage. I must say, we didn't have like hectic like floods and water coming into our house. And some people really had it tough, and driving in the streets, cars are being washed away. But when I saw the amount of rain falling, I saw the gutters couldn't take it. I saw the grass can't take it. You know, the grass is so soaked, the garden is soaked, the streets are soaked. Then I just realized this is what it's like when the harvest comes in. When the heavy rains come, when the end time harvest comes in, we are not going to be in control. And if we try to control it, we're gonna die. But God doesn't want us to control that flow of water, that flow of the Spirit, the flow of just his goodness. He doesn't want to, we cannot control it. But we just say, Lord, yeah, we are. We're just gonna just disciple one by one by one as best we can. We're just gonna be faithful with the little he's given us, and he'll increase our capacity. He'll increase your finances. He'll increase your time. He'll increase your capacity and your home. He'll even expand your home physically if need be. That you can make another room for just someone else to have a place of refuge, for someone else. He'll increase our cell group spaces where we can have our connect groups and there can be space for more. Amen. He'll give us, if you're trusting for a venue for your connect group, then trust God. He's into making space. He's into showing you exactly where he wants you to have the fellowship. But God is great, guys. God is doing awesome stuff. And I just want you to just be obedient to the Holy Spirit right now. I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I want to prepare my heart for the harvest. I want to prepare my heart for what you want to do. Because when you do it, it's huge. Amen. And it's going to need more than us in this room to help with what God wants to do in our midst and in our city. Let's close our eyes and pray together.